on the AM and FM 107 Radio Network, broadcasting from AM and FM stations around the country. Welcome to the Small Business Administration award-winning School for Startups Radio, where we talk all things small business and entrepreneurship. Now, here is your host, the guy that believes anyone can be a successful entrepreneur because entrepreneurship is not about creativity, risk, or passion, Jim Beach.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another exciting edition of School for Startups Radio. I hope you're having a great day out there, fighting the Christmas parking, shopping, and all of that. Parking, shopping. I'm not sure what that is. Anyway, we have a great show for you today. I appreciate you being with us. We have several great things today. It's an unusual show. First up, we have Corinne Goble. She is the CEO of the AWBC, the Association of Women's Business Centers.org, AWBC.org. They are 140 of them around the United States, and they are centers to help women build their businesses, help supported by the federal government. And so this is a great organization. And secret wink, wink, they will help men as well. Anyway, Corinne is with us today to talk about the offerings that they have and how it's just all the things they can do, how they can help with private funding as well. So it's a great resource for all of us. After that, we have Colin Furs. He has some 6-7 million followers on that YouTube thing. He is a crazy inventor. He started off as a plumber, and now in his backyard, he builds things like Star Wars AT-ATs. You know, those 40, 50 foot tall walking Star Wars things. They're four legs. And he built one of those in his backyard. He is a little bit crazy, 100% entertaining, and he is with us today to share some of his craziest stories. Then we have Tillman Fertitta. He is the CEO of the Houston Rockets basketball team. He also owns some 4,000 casinos and restaurants across the United States. Started off with a $6,000 loan. I forgot to say this. Both he and Colin are greatest hits. And for those of you who don't know, we lost our server after 10 years. We had been on the same server, and that company went out of business. And so they gave us 6 months to get everything downloaded. And so we did that, you know, anything that we hadn't saved on our own hard drives, we did that. And then they closed it down. And yes, the question I always get asked when I tell this story is, yes, I did offer or look at buying the whole company, and no, it didn't make any sense. So I decided not to do it. But anyway, downloaded all the stuff, but they have all these great interviews from that period that we have to get back up. And so the only way to get them back up is to load them on a new server. And when we do that, we might as well air them, because you want to hear Colin and Tillman. I promise you, two of the craziest stories we have had. And Tillman is a billionaire, so I haven't even announced billionaire alert. So there we go. And then after all that, if that's not enough, we have Dr. Dave Kunick, who's going to play the Quick 10. So the Quick 10. We you know, look, the audience got excited already for the Quick 10. So, and then I have to answer the throw in that I did yesterday very carelessly. I mentioned very stupidly as we went into commercial, stupidly because I should have given it more time, that I am concerned about China and that it's burning. And I mentioned that 8 buildings burned in Hong Kong last weekend. Or so. So I think it was 8 skyscrapers all in a big complex. They all one caught and it swept to all of them. And I think 110 people were still missing and probably dead. And so the numbers have been catastrophic. It is indicative of all of what's going on in China. There's a rash of factories being burned. 3,000 factories have burned in the last 2 months because they're not getting paid. And so there's a huge underlying problem that no one's talking about in China. That's what I was referring to. Great show. We'll be back in a second.
Tired of climate change? introducing The Real Environmentalists, the bold new book by Jim Beach. It's not about activists, politicians, or professors. It's about the entrepreneurs, real risk takers, building cleaner, smarter solutions, not for applause, but for profit. The entrepreneurs in the book aren't giving speeches. They're in labs, factories, and offices, cleaning the past and building clean products for the future. The Real Environmentalists is available now because the people saving the planet aren't the ones you think. Go to Amazon and search for Real Environmentalist. Thank you.
We are back, and again, thank you so very much for being with us. You know, here in America, we are blessed with an incredible government that gives us many services, and some people dislike that and some people love that, but we have to know what the services are. I'm excited to learn more about one of the organizations that's out there to help all of us. I'm excited to introduce the Association of Women's Business Centers. I've actually spoken at one of these centers, and I know some of the women there. The CEO is our guest today. Her name is Corinne Goebel. She was appointed in 2019, right as the pandemic set in and all hell broke loose. She was able to save the organization with the CARES Act that they were able to get through Congress and help with help of the SBA. That act gave each of the women's business centers a allotment of money to keep them up and running and to provide the services for their members. She has also been named a winner of the 100 Women to Know in America. Welcome to the show, Corinne. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
It is our pleasure. Tell us about the association, who it helps, what it does, where it is, how to get in touch. Tell us about the association.
Yeah, well, I'm excited to do that. Ultimately, we can't forget our mission, which is ultimately to help women and other small business owners get access to the resources they need to get started and to grow. The way we do that is we support this network of women's business centers that you mentioned that are in part federally funded and then part private funded. And the way that they help businesses is by education. So that's like training and workshops, or it could be counseling, and then helping with preparing business owners to access capital. Can't grow, can't get started without some form of capital. And so that's what women's business centers do. And we're the association behind them that helps them. And in doing that, the last thing I'll mention here is you mentioned COVID, and a lot of business owners came to us during COVID and said, hey, we need help. We said, like, we need to introduce you to a women's business center. And they didn't even know what a women's business center was. So we started this different platform, like a new front door to welcome small businesses, man, woman, didn't matter. We have several of those front doors. We have hopetowomen.org, veteranstartup.org, and biztogrow.org. And it's just so that every business owner can come to us and feel welcome and feel that they have a place so we can direct them to resources, introduce them to a women's business center, or it might be appropriate. They might need support from a veteran business outreach center or a procurement assistance center called APEX. Whatever it is, we'll make the introduction wherever they need to go. And sometimes they'll just stick with us and we can help them there too.
I love it. And so you're right. I think a lot of people don't know that these resources are available. So I'm here in Atlanta. I would have to assume there's a center here. Is there one here in Atlanta?
We have some excellent centers in Georgia.
See, I didn't know that. I live at the Center of Entrepreneurship in Atlanta.
I know. I lived in Georgia too, and I think Atlanta is kind of the center of the universe.
Free Kia at the end. I was hoping you were going to hook me with a Kia.
Oh, that'll require a different show. Yeah, we can talk about that. But we have two women's business centers right near Atlanta, and they're phenomenal.
Who runs
one of them? Yeah, one of them is inside a CDFI called ACE. CDFI means it's a community lender. So okay. They're going to offer like either SBA or non-traditional lending products. They might do microloans. I'm not familiar with their specific lending products, but they tend to be a place that somebody might go look for a loan if they can't find what they need at a traditional bank. CDFIs are nonprofit lenders, so they just have different kinds of options. and they can be a great place for small businesses to look. And yeah, there's a Women's Business Center right inside ACE. They're fantastic.
I know ACE. I know that organization. I'm trying to remember the name of the woman that runs it.
Grace,
that's right.
Yeah.
Yep. I sat next to her at her dinner 3 or 4 years ago. Yes. That's an incredible organization.
And that's so emblematic of the kind of Women's Business Center you'll find anywhere in the country. They're buried sort of deep inside another organization. They fly a banner of a bigger brand, a bigger organization, but deep inside there's this separate program, partially federally funded, partially privately funded, that exists to really just help businesses get started and help them grow.
Well, I didn't know anything about that in terms of ACE. That's great. That is available then. So, well done. 150 around the country now.
We're seeing a little bit of a contraction. We're waiting to get the final tally, because after the government shut down and started back up again, we're waiting to see how many contracts are finally issued. But we think it'll be around 140.
Okay.
So it's still a good reach across all the states, many of the territories across the U.S. And you can come to awbc.org and you can locate a center.
Yep, of course.
We don't expect you to know how to find one in your community, so we can reveal that, you know, for you. They could be inside a CDFI like the one in Atlanta, or they might be inside like a chamber of commerce sometimes,
right.
Or
yeah.
A community action center. It just varies.
Makes a lot of sense. So what do women's needs entrepreneurially differ from men? Do we need greater access to capital? Do we have more imposter syndrome among women than men? What are the differences that you encounter that they need help with?
Well, I think one of the biggest things that we find by having women in the name is we're encouraging the participation of women. We're not exclusively here for women, and it's not necessarily that the needs of a woman opening a business are starkly different than any other founder, because the barriers to opening a new business, they're great, kind of no matter who you are. But we have this place where women can say, hey, I know that this place is going to be accepting of me, is not going to judge me for being a woman, isn't going to judge me for the fact that, you know, I've been at home or caring for the family. It's a place that they kind of know is like woman judgment free, which isn't to say anything bad about other places. It just removes a barrier. So women go, oh, I know that I'm welcome here. Of course. So women come in, but we also have, you know, everyone is welcome. We do find that women have some specific needs. And frankly, this is all small business owners, if I'm honest, around financial education, you know, particularly around thinking about when the right time to access capital is, and then what kind of capital they need and how to go about getting it. Such critical things. And often people are so hesitant to even think about capital until it's like a dire need. And if it's a dire need, it's kind of too late to start thinking about it. Yeah.
Excellent. Do you have a national meeting every year or that kind of thing as well?
Oh, gosh. I love that you asked that. We didn't used to open up our meetings, our conferences, to small businesses. We used to only have the conference for our women's business centers. But we realized this last year that we were missing a big opportunity to connect with people. So, yeah, September 2026, September 15, actually, in 16, 17, we're going to be in Denver. And we'll be open for small businesses. We're getting ready to post the registration for the conference really soon at our website, I'd say in the next couple of weeks. And the hotel room block is there and you can do the registration. What's special about our conferences, and I've been to a lot of small business conferences and a lot of women-focused small business conferences. A lot of these conferences, they try to be everything for everybody. And in doing so, they sort of miss really getting meaty about content. We don't do that. We really focus on capital. And then we really, this coming conference in September in specific, we're going to be looking at some trade opportunities and really highlighting like how to grow your business in international trade. And as a case study, we'll be, and this is like the first time going public saying this, as a case study, we're going to be highlighting opportunities between Scotland and the US. It's kind of like they speak English. We can think about a market that's small in a way we can understand it. And once we can achieve like exporting our product to Scotland, it opens up the opportunities and kind of breaks the barriers down to be able to trade anywhere in Europe.
I love it. I love it. My first speaking gig ever was for UPS, 5,000 people. And do you remember the UPS commercials, Corinne, where they had a guy who would draw on a whiteboard, he would draw a truck,
yes,
and the truck would animate and packages would pop out of the back of the truck?
I do, yeah.
That, they did so many of those commercials that it turned into just a meme itself. And they actually had internal fake commercial competitions and things, you know, where scarecrows would pop out of the back of the trucks and, you know, whatever, any silly stuff. And they turned it into a stage event, teaching people how to go international. And I played the long hair stringy guy, which is kind of funny because even then I was balding. And so I had a wig that I would throw off and everything. And we did 26 cities, I think, teaching people how to go international for UPS, because UPS makes a ton more money on international than on domestic sales. And guess what country they focused on?
No, Scotland.
Scotland.
Yeah, it's just such a cool place. Yeah, it's a cool place. So, well, good. Well, maybe we can bring you to come help do some of our training. We're excited about it. We think businesses, they can start to realize like their own possibilities if they can see somebody else is doing it. And so we think having a case study like that is, and you know, really instructive, but puts that type of imagination and moves it closer to reality for people. So I'm excited about making dreams come true. Like, yes. And this is one way we get to do that.
Oh, let me tell you this story. So I did my first business in my 20s and got out of it at 31 and immediately started teaching international entrepreneurship at Georgia State. And my first class, first semester, I made a bet with my class that I could start a business that semester. And they got to choose the country and the industry. And I had 3 months to make it profitable and to repay all of my startup capital. And they chose, this was right after 9/11. And so they chose Pakistan and furniture. So I had 3 months to build a profitable Pakistani furniture company. And if you scroll to the very bottom of my LinkedIn page on the experiences, you'll see the chairs that we built. They were amazing. We took 100-year-old Killam carpets, Persian rugs, your Oriental rugs, and cut them up, which sounds sacrilegious, but we would all take them and make them into a beautiful Queen Anne armchair or a George Washington armchair that would sit next to a dry stack stone fireplace at a ski lodge in Vail or something like that, and just be absolutely gorgeous. And it was a huge success. The business was a huge success. All about using the resources available from the Gold Key service at the State Department and things that can help you get international. You know, you're helping women. There's an equal amount of infrastructure to help people go international as well. And so just lots of possibilities with that.
I mean, and that's just the nature of entrepreneurship, is to be willing to face a challenge, take it head on, and have the confidence to know you're going to get there and make money doing it, even if you don't quite know how yet.
Yes, I made the bet 12 semesters in a row.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I think these are some really great case studies. I'd love to look into it more.
So how do I, if I'm in a place that doesn't have a women's center close by, can we start a new one, or how does we have to wait for you to start them?
Mm-hmm.
What is the process? And if there is one, how do I get involved?
Well, this is a little bit why Hope to Women was born and VeteranStartup.org was born and BizToGrow was born, because we knew we needed access for people who didn't necessarily have a women's business center in their community. And there are, unfortunately, a lot of places that don't have one local. And we're able to support small business owners virtually. And so we used to call this our virtual women's business center, and it's national. It's particularly great to have something for folks in rural areas who just don't feel like they've got access to anything. There's nobody around. Our team understands the challenges of rural. So at any business that comes to us, let's just say Hope to Women, and it's Hope and then the number two, women.org. The first thing someone does when they get to hopetowomen.org is we want them to request assistance, and it's all free. So if it were you, Jim, you'd say request assistance, and you just enter some minimal information about yourself, about your business. We want to know what stage you're in. Have you started it yet? Or are you already in business and you're looking to overcome some growth challenges? Then we provide you with a scheduling link. So on your time, you choose when you want to have a free, just a brief. We know how busy business owners are. We just ask for 15 minutes to get a quick check-in. What is your burning question? What's the thing that's like keeping you up right now? Or what is the problem you need to solve so that we can start to navigate you toward the resources you need? It might be introducing you to a women's business center. It might be directing you to some free education. We've got these incredible partnerships and incredible resources. Many of them, well, all that I can think of, they're all free. Just thanks to being, coming through us, you can get access like exclusively through us. It's all free stuff. But the key point is every consultation we do, we're driving our clients to the solution they need. It's not a cookie cutter process. And so as long as the business owner is willing to continue taking the steps in the process, they can continue working with us for free. And we know we're going to see results together.
I love that. Maybe they don't need financing. Maybe they can be taught to bootstrap and do even better that way, for example.
Or maybe it's just getting some cash from friends and family for whatever it is they need. And maybe they don't really need to borrow, from a bank or put themselves into any kind of serious obligation. Or maybe it's hearing about another client that we might have. We might be able to share some information about a similar situation and say, well, in this case, this is what another one of our clients did. Would that be, a path for you or something you're interested in? So, we're able to share expertise and of course, not providing any confidential information or anything proprietary, but it can be helpful to know what other business owners are doing.
Very, very helpful. Business owners love to help other business owners. So, Corinne, when you won the 100 Women to Know Award, what were your teenage kids like?
Oh, gosh. They roll their eyes every time I do something that I think is cool, right? I'll say, well, bye, kids. I'm going to the White House, again. And they just they roll their eyes, or bye kids, I've got this, I'm speaking on another podcast, or I've got another interview, magazine interview. And they're just blah, blah, or I'm testifying before the Senate. And they just they could not be more bored or think my achievements are more mundane, right? It just doesn't matter what it is I think is successful. It's just still their mom.
Yes. I have the same problem too. It is very equalizing.
Yeah. Their first question is but what isn't it for me, Mom? Yes. Are there going to be influencers there? Am I going to get to meet somebody famous? Because otherwise, not interested.
Well, back to that same UPS conference, my kids went to LA for that one. I was going to go on vacation and take them to Disneyland and stuff. And I was sitting at table out in the lobby talking to the CEO, and the kids came up and were talking about, Daddy, when is your event happening? And when is everyone here to see you? And, the CEO was enjoying hearing my kids' take on the whole event and what I had told my kids, And so kind of got caught anyway.
Yeah, busted. Yes. For sure.
All right. AWBC.org.
You got it.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for being with us, Corinne. Great information. And we'd love to have you back and some of your cool business owners.
Thanks so much. Thanks for helping us get the word out.
Our pleasure. And we will be right back. And welcome back again. We sure do appreciate you being with us today. I'm very excited to introduce you to our next guest. I think this is going to be really entertaining. His name is Colin Furze. He started off as a plumber in Britain, but he turned into an inventor, and he now has a whole body of inventions, cool things that he has built. He has 5.5 million subscribers on YouTube that watch his videos about his things, and he has had over 500 million video views. Every 2 weeks, he comes out with some sort of cool new product. We will talk all about a bunch of them today. He also has 5 Guinness World Records for the largest bonfire, the longest motorcycle, the fastest speed on a scooter, and a bunch of other stuff, including the fastest toilet. I'm not really sure what that means. And he has got a brand new book out called This Book Isn't Safe. It has 10 inventions that you and your kids can build together. Colin, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
How are we doing? Thank you very much. Good to be here.
How did all this get started? What was your first invention?
Well, my first invention, you go back years and years ago, because I get asked this question a lot, and I was trying to think, like, what was the first weird thing that I made that you could call an invention? And I remember I had an old Meccano set, and I tried to make myself a fake arm so I could go to school, pretend I'd fell over, and make it look like my arm was broken to try and prank the school teachers. It didn't work that well, though, because it didn't look very realistic, but, you know, it was a start, wasn't it?
Yes. Have you always been a little bit mischievous, a little bit anti-authority?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I wouldn't have wanted to have been my teacher. I mean, I wasn't terrible, you know, I wasn't violent to everybody or anything like that. But, I mean, I did get, if it was a lesson or something I wasn't particularly interested in, then I would probably be more of a pain to the teacher than an asset, for sure.
All right. I'm on your website looking at some of the projects, and one of them just blows me away. For all of you who are Star Wars fans, it's an AT-AT, which is that big walker thing from Empire Strikes Back, the snow scene at the beginning. It's like 30 feet tall. Colin, you actually built one of these in your backyard, right?
Yes, totally. It's kind of a kid's playhouse. It's a bit like a tree house, I suppose, but without the tree, you can go up inside it. And, you know, for true Star Wars fans, like, proper immerse himself. But, look, tomorrow I've built something else. So there's another Star Wars project. This one's bigger. Not quite so tall, but it's a lot more vast. So if you like that, you're going to love the next thing I've done.
What is it?
Can't tell you.
Oh,
it's a surprise.
Okay.
And people will be able to go and see it this time, so, which I'm excited about.
All right. What did your neighbors think when you built this 20-foot-tall playhouse in your backyard that looks like a Star Wars figure?
All the ones with kids thought it was fantastic. The neighbors that didn't have kids, they're not too keen on the tall projects because obviously they tower over the fence and I suppose they lose their privacy to a certain degree. But I think they could appreciate the scale and the authenticity that, you know, it marked with the film. So there was a bit of appreciation there, but they do prefer the smaller ones.
Well, I'm looking at the pictures right now. It looks exactly like what was in the movie. So you've done an amazing job. Did you leave that up? Yeah. Will that be there forever? If I buy your house 20 years from now, will I get the AT-AT with it?
No, fortunately not. It's taken down. It still exists, the thing, but it's in pieces in a container at the moment. I've got all sorts of stuff everywhere that's all locked up into storage. One day they will be a Colin Furze Emporium of Madness, and everyone can come and see, play, and use all these things. But until then, fortunately, it's all locked up.
Yeah, you definitely need to build a museum for yourself because this stuff is crazy. Fastest go kart. The jet go-kart. Tell me about that.
The jet-powered go-kart, yes. Basically, I mean, I love pulse jets, world's simplest jet engine. Don't produce too much power, but they produce a lot of heat and a lot of noise, and who doesn't like a lot of heat and a lot of noise? So I built this huge one, which I just shoved on a go-kart. It didn't go super fast. It wasn't the fastest go-kart. It went about 60 miles an hour, but it would melt the back of the seat. There was like, I put this heat shield up made of aluminium. It melted that. And the thing just looks awesome.
Where do you get your crazy ideas, Colin? Where's the next inspiration come from?
I come from all sorts of places. You can watch other YouTube videos. You can pick something up and think, oh, this would be fun if we used it in a slightly different manner. You can have a problem. I broke my leg 3 or 4 years back, and the crutches that I was given were terrible. So I made my own crutches with lights, grabbers and clips and stuff all over them. So, ideas for inventions can come from all over the place.
And do you ever have a time where you're just not creative, where you can't think of the next crazy thing?
There are patches sort of thing where you kind of you have a bit of a dry spell, I suppose, where you kind of get stuck. But I just tend to get out the house, go for a walk, do something. It's not long before something comes along and is like, I can make one of them or do something like that. So, yeah, I think if you sit still, then yes. But, if you just, mix things up a little bit, get involved in the world, there's always ideas out there.
And what makes a great idea? Lots of fire and noise, as you said earlier, or the difficulty of it? What about an idea gets you really excited?
I suppose it depends which way you look at it, really. Because, I suppose with what I do now, if the video is particularly successful, then I could say that's a good idea. But equally, you can get a lot of satisfaction from making certain things, which, might not make a very good video. One of the best ideas I've had this year in terms of the videos was building an underground beach hut. We went to the beach, we dug a massive hole, we made like a beach house with subterranean levels. And this was just, just a wacky thing I'd thought of off the top of my head, but the internet absolutely loved it, more so than I ever thought they were going to. So, depends how you look at it, really. But as long as you enjoy doing it, it doesn't really matter.
We are speaking with Colin Furze about his crazy inventions and his new book that you can find on Amazon. This book isn't safe. We'll talk about that in just a second. Colin, you went to plumbing school. You're a licensed plumber. What about the other things that you've learned to do along the way, like build a jet engine, for example? How do you figure out things like that? Are you just really good with engineering and mechanics, or are you self-taught? How did all of this stuff come about intellectually?
It's all self-taught. I think we live in a very lucky age at the moment where if you need any information, you can just ask your phone and it will provide you with most of it. So you've got the internet, jet engines, all the time, all the drawings and everything. I've got them all offline, got all the calculations to work out, what size things should be. So I think if you really want to make something now, all the information is out there, at least to get you started. So you've just got to use that and just have a go, basically.
All right. That makes a lot of sense. That's really good advice for us. Is there ever been something that you couldn't figure out how to do?
Well, I've got a bacon cooking machine, which doesn't work very well at the moment. It just burns and chews bacon up. So there's a little bit of work to be done on that. But most things I'd persevere with. They work, or at least work for 5 seconds. I mean, that's the great thing about making YouTube videos. It's only got to work while it's on camera sort of thing. But there's some things which work all the time, and then there's other things I've made which work for only a split second of the time. But yeah, this baking cooking machine's been giving me a bit of a headache, but I'll get there.
So, Colin, tell me about the book. This book isn't safe. It's actually designed for you and your kids to go build something. Am I right?
Yeah. While I've been doing all this crazy stuff on the internet, one of the things that's come off from that is I've been getting a lot of emails from people saying, I want to do what you're doing. I want to build stuff, but where do I start? So that's what this book is. It's for kids out there that want to invent stuff. They want to be practical, but they don't know what to build. And even basic skills like cutting wood, drilling holes in things, how to measure stuff. This is all in there. So it's like real ground roots, basic knowledge. But as you work through the book and complete the little task, by the time you finished it, hopefully you'll be able to build some pretty cool stuff on your own.
And is anything in here really dangerous? I mean, I have a young kid, almost seven. Can we do this together safely? I mean, the book tells me it's not safe, Colin.
I mean, there are things. You know, you've got to have your wits about you. There's a fire tornado. There's frisbee flingers and stuff. And then obviously the downhill try. You know, tripping yourself down a very steep hill. But you know, we can't wrap ourselves up in cotton wool all the time. You've got to get out there and take some risks, haven't you? So yeah, but you should be okay.
Are you concerned that we are wrapping ourselves up too much and not taking enough risk as a society, as a culture?
Oh, yeah, totally. I think people worry about it far too much. Well, while I was at school, we had quite a good metal workshop, but we were never using it because the teacher, you know, it's too much red tape for all the risk assessments and everything to have kids using the machine. So we never learned anything from there. So I think that's got worse. Since, you know, you go to parks and stuff and there's like signs everywhere, do not do this, do not do that. Just ridiculous.
That is very true. Have you only broken one bone in your body? So have you had any big accidents?
I broke my leg, but it's not a very exciting story. I fell over in the garage with a motorbike. So I wasn't even on it, which was quite an appalling tale. I got burned pretty badly once, but that was down to a gas leak, which was my own fault. I'd been putting this jet engine together, and then I'd gone in, had my tea, come back again, and forgot I had tightened the nut up. But the silver lining in it, I filmed it from two angles, and it made a brilliant YouTube video.
Of course, that's all that matters. How can we get the innovation back as a society? Do we need to create a law that says I'm allowed to burn myself if I want to? What should we do as a parent, as, you know, trying to raise kids, to try to make kids grow up and be as interesting and as daredevilish as you?
I think we should start off by trying to fix stuff. Things break nowadays, we just chuck it in the bin, don't we? So nobody learns, you know, hands-on how something's put together, how it's made, why it's broken. I mean, this is like the bare basics. If you think back, you know, 20, 30 years ago, you know, if the car broke down, you'd have a go at fixing it. You know, if the kettle broke, you might try and change the element. Whereas nowadays, the car needs plugging into a, you know, computer back at the dealership. You know, you can't even get the engine cover off sometimes, you know, avoiding the warranty. So all little things like that, they don't help. And then, yes, you know, pick your bike up, try and jump over something, try and attach or tie something to it, and just
All right, your fastest toilet, how fast could it go?
51 miles an hour, I think the toilet went.
And was it a real functioning toilet with the water in the bottom and everything?
Oh, it completely worked. You could even flush it while you were driving if you wanted to.
Okay, I'm going to have to think about that, how you could do that, and the sanitary concerns of this. Do you enjoy going to the bathroom in public, Colin?
I don't make a habit of it, but it was weird. I mean, when we first started filming that video, and I was kind of like, oh, I know, to make this look more, you know, authentic, I'll pull my pants down around my ankles. And then, of course, it made great photos. But then for the rest of the day we were making the video, I spent the whole day with my pants around my ankles. But, you know, they are. It's fun, isn't it? It's a bit of fun.
What does your family think about this? Are you married, by the way? Do you have kids of your own and all that yet?
I've got two kids. I'm not married. I'm as good as married, I suppose. I've got two kids.
Yeah.
They love it. So Jake, my son, who's five, he's starting to get really excited by it now. You know, he's understanding more of what I do, you know, putting ideas in and stuff like that. I don't think he realizes that not everybody has an underground bunker in the back garden, but he's starting to tweak. And then I've got a little girl, one and a half. She's showing signs of being quite practical as well. So, yeah, it's all good.
I bet you'll find some great ideas from them. You know, a crib that explodes and throws the baby out into the bathtub, for example. Have you thought of that? An exploding crib. I think the world needs more of those, Colin. What about you?
I think we need a soundproof one rather than an exploding one.
You are right. I have four children myself, including a 2.5-year-old, so I am right there with you. Well, Colin, this is amazing stuff, and the videos are so much fun. I actually enjoyed watching them last night with my six-year-old, almost seven-year-old. We had a lot of fun at your expense. How can we get a copy of the book, and what age is the youngest we should start these projects with our kid?
I think it's six-plus-year-olds, and as far as getting hold of it, it's definitely on Amazon. It is in shops in the U.S. I'm not sure which ones. A massive country. But it is available in stores, but I know you can definitely get it on Amazon, which, of course, covers the entire globe, pretty much.
Excellent. Well, I'm on Amazon right now, and it's selling very well and very well reviewed as well. Colin, congratulations. You're a lot of fun. I can't wait to see the next Star Wars-inspired thing. When will that video be available?
Should go out tomorrow at 4 o'clock my time.
So okay.
Whatever it is now. Minus 30 minutes.
5 hours, yeah. All right. Well, Colin, thanks a lot for being with us.
Bye, bye, bye.
That's all right. Thank you very much.
And we will be right back. And welcome back to the show again. We appreciate you being with us. Very excited and honored to introduce you to our next guest. His name is Tillman Fertitta. He is a TV star. He has his own reality show, The Billion Dollar Buyer, on CNBC. He also owns the Houston Rockets, the Golden Nugget Casinos, and 600 other amazing restaurants that you probably eat at every week. He turned a $6,000 loan into a multi-billion dollar empire. And he has just released a new book called Shut Up and Listen, Hard Business Truths That Will Help You Succeed. Tillman, sir, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
It's great. It's fun to get out there and talk about, you know, what made me successful and my little tools. And here we are.
What made you successful? Are you smarter than us, work harder than us, get up earlier in the morning, better hair? What is it?
All the above. No, definitely not the better hair and get up early in the morning. But HarperCollins approached me about 18 months ago and said, hey, Tillman, we watch your show and we see you on all these business shows and we read all these articles and all these Tillmanisms of yours. And we don't want you to write a life story. We want you to tell how you became successful. What these Tillmanisms and self-improvement and what are the tips that made you successful? And so it's something we've worked on the last 18 months and it's been a lot of fun and it's been good. And the reviews have been great on the book, and it's been really enjoyable to get out there. What people are always looking for mentors and ideas, and to be able to do it in this one book.
All right, give us a Tillmanism.
Oh, I've got a bunch of. There are no spare customers. It's easy. Take the word no out of your damn vocabulary. Play happy. Never put your lifestyle ahead of the growth of your business. Always be the bull. Consultants will consult you straight out of business. just on and on and on. I mean, know your numbers. It's just little things that, know what you know and know what you don't know. If you go into business with somebody, make sure they have different talents than you. It's just little things that if you just operate a certain way, don't believe your own performa. If you're out there doing deals, go give the bank one performa that you think can happen, but you better do a worst case performa for yourself, because that's 80% of the time, that's the one that really happens. And nothing happens the way we plan it. Okay. And so you better always prepare for the worst. And I think that if that's the one advice I can give you better than anything else is that don't ever think that everything's going to run smooth, because it never is.
All right. You didn't answer my question. You answered a lot of questions. What makes you different? Are you smarter? Do you work harder? Give me an honest answer, Tillman.
Okay. I will honestly tell you, I am not smarter. Okay. I was not a great student. I was given an entrepreneurial mind, but I also decided this is what I want. When I was 21 years old, I won a Cadillac selling Shackley vitamins. When I decided I wanted to buy my first jet at 35, okay? And I did whatever it took to get from point A to point B. And it's kind of like wanting it more. And, you know, God didn't give me the gift to play professional sports or let me be a singer or let me win a Grammy playing a guitar. But I knew that I knew how to hustle and make money. And so I realized that, and that's what I grasped. And I just did whatever it took to be successful, to make money. But I am not the smartest guy. I think I've outworked people. I think I've built a culture in my company that we outwork people, and we make hard decisions. And I was just telling somebody a few minutes ago, I mean, I've bought 6 public companies because they turned into lifestyle companies, and they were more worried about the lifestyle at the corporate office than they were about the returns for the shareholders. And it's not easy. It's being a tough business person and accepting some small failures and pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, but it's making tough decisions. And people don't like to make tough decisions, and people don't want to play tough. Sometimes you just have to.
Is business too concerned about being woke? Is it too concerned about not hurting someone's feelings? Why are people not making are the people just weak? Why are people not making these decisions, taking these actions?
I think a lot of times people are just weak, and they don't want to, when times are tough, they don't want to lay people off. I've had to make every tough decision, and people, I'm announcing an acquisition tomorrow of a company that was a public company where they didn't make tough decisions, and they let their corporate G&A just bloat into an unusual amount because somebody didn't want to make tough decisions. And you have to be tough. You have to make good decisions. You've got to learn from your mistakes. Just like you set yourself up for success, you've got to set yourself up not to have failures and making the same mistakes over and over.
Tell me about the 95-5 rule.
Well, I mean, that's something that I preach, and it's just about being in business every day, is that, you know, 95% of everything we do is right. So look for the 5% that's wrong. You talk about startups, businesses. Tell me about who your typical listener is, and I'll relate it to their business.
Under 5 employees, 3 years old, and struggling to hit their first million.
Okay, so let's just say they own a little shopping center or a little apartment project, or they have 3 rent houses. Okay.
Yep.
So let's just drive up to one of those rent houses, and the first thing I'm going to look at is, as well as the grass edge, are they fertilizing the grass? The grass look green? Is there a shutter that's fallen off? Is the house painted? Is there stains on the driveway? Do I walk up to the front door and see weeds? Do I see mulch in the flower beds? Do I then see the front door and the front door is not painted? Is there smudges on the windows? Well, I walk in the house. The house is in pretty good shape, but I just told you about the 5% that wasn't right that already set my mood before I ever walked in the house. Because I do those few things right, I'm going to get that extra $100 or $150 a month that means a lot to me because I put the curb appeal out there before I ever walked in the house. There's 5% right there.
You believe in catering to the masses, and I believe that with your restaurants. And then part of the slogan is not the classes. So cater to the masses, not the classes. Is MBA pricing still affordable by middle America?
100%. Not if you want to sit on the floor. If you want to sit on the floor, it's hundreds of thousands of dollars. Still come to an NBA game and buy 4 seats on certain nights for under $100.
That's affordable. That's fair.
You know. And I have very high end restaurants, Mastro's, Martin's, Ketch, Ocean Air, but I also believe that they're still for the masses. I still do restaurants that even my most expensive restaurants do hundreds of customers a night. And I believe that you still go out there and you put a product out there and you build a building out there that caters to the masses. And so therefore you have a huge appeal to lots of people. And the same with all my Golden Nugget casinos, from Vegas to Lake Charles to Atlantic City to Biloxi to Laughlin, is that I design buildings that with lots of good restaurants in it and very friendly atmospheres that still cater to the masses.
My son always wants to go to Joe's Crab Shack for his birthday. We love that product. Tillman, how do we find out more about the book? Get a copy.
Just go on Amazon, and it's a great book. And I can promise you that it's a very easy read. It's written at the right level for young entrepreneurs or old entrepreneurs. And it's just a really good, the reviews have been great and the focus groups have been great and great feedback. You know, all the reviews we have on Amazon, we have all 5 stars. We're kind of shocked. So, it's an easy read. And if you are a young corporate person trying to go up the corporate ladder, or you just want to, you're an entrepreneur yourself, you will pick up something out of this book, I guarantee you.
Who wins the Southwest Division this year?
Who knows? Hopefully us. Better be us.
That's an honest answer. Tillman, thanks a lot for being with us. We appreciate your time. And we will be right back. We are back and have another brave contestant willing to play the Quick 10. Please welcome Dr. David Kunick to the show. He is here from Use Common Sense Advisors, which is ucsgreatness.com. He has helped 70 companies in the last 2 years raise $240 million to grow their business. Damn impressive. Dr. David, welcome. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Jim. Thank you so much for having me today. Excited
to play the game. Quick 10.
Yes, I do. I'd love to play the Quick 10.
All right. Are you currently sober? I'm required by law to ask, state law to ask.
110%. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Stone cold sober.
Do you want to accept the standard wager?
Sure.
There you go. I love that. Number one, favorite creativity hack?
Journaling/physically writing.
Number two, favorite bootstrapping trick?
Leaving voicemails for people.
Number three, name your top passions.
Top five, working out, surfing, networking, public speaking, and helping others succeed in business and life.
Number four, the first 3 steps in starting a business are?
Open up a bank account in your business name. Don't be cheap and actually get a proper email address, not one that ends with Hotmail or Gmail, and update your LinkedIn page.
Number five, the best way to get your first real customer is?
Networking, networking, and networking.
Number six, your dreamiest technology is?
Ooh, for business, orchestrate, for me personally, for my personal life, something called the Better Bite Buddy. Highly recommend it to everyone.
Number seven, best entrepreneurial advice?
The difference between a $10,000 idea versus a $10 million idea is just about a half a second.
Number eight, worst entrepreneurial mistake?
Ooh, not reading at a young age. I wish I read a whole lot more in my 20s.
Number nine, favorite entrepreneur and why?
My good friend, Rick Gilchrist. He's just amazing what he's done for starting companies, pivoting companies, and exiting companies.
Number 10, favorite superhero?
You might laugh when I tell you this. Jack Sparrow, because he always figures out a way to get the mission done.
Wow, he's drunk. Great answers. While we calculate the final score and see who the winner of the wager is, David, how do we get in touch, find out more, and go raise some capital?
Best way is my LinkedIn, David Kunick, C-U-N-I-C, or my website, ucsgreatness.com, or you can call the office line, 201-252-7170.
Fantastic. I'm just kind of pausing. Oh, I am so sorry for you, David. We just got your score. One of the judges, actually, Lori Kane was one of our judges, and she dinged you a couple of points, your business partner. I don't know how that happened. So you got a 94, which is an excellent score, but you have to have a 95 to win. So you owe us a Tesla. You owe us a Tesla.
Put it on my tab, my friend.
Excellent. I'll be looking for it. Dr. David, thank you so much for being with us. Great stuff.
I appreciate you having me today, Jim. Thank you again for this opportunity. Appreciate it.
You are very, very welcome. We are out of time for today, but we come back. Be safe. Take care. Bye now.